The Lillian, she was raised from a Christian family, and she grew in California. Yes, and she also graduated in UPenn, and she has a double major of nurse and business. And after that, God called her, and right now you are studying. She's a seminary student, and now I also invite her to come to our church. Especially she has a lot of background related to you guys. So welcome her and let her introduce herself and also share how God lead her, call her, and also how does she encounter with Jesus Christ. Okay? Everyone? Yes. Yes.
Okay, yeah, no, thank you so much for just having me this morning. So just so I can know my audience a bit better, who here is in like elementary school or younger? Raise your hand. That's it? Okay. What about middle school? Who's here is a middle schooler? Okay. High school? Or the high schoolers? Okay. And then like college student or young adult?
Young adult.
Okay, I feel like a backward didn't even raise your hand. Okay. I'll assume you're more on the adult side. Okay. So I'm going to share my story today, and I think it will hit all of your guys' age groups, except super old adults. I'm not there yet. But hopefully it can resonate with you. And I'll kind of ask questions along the way, but if you ever have a question at any point, you can just raise your hand and ask as well. But this is my story, finding God in a very ordinary life, because my life was nothing special at all. And throughout my life, there are two key themes that both start with P. One is my parents, and the other is my purpose. So, my parents were born in China. I think probably like a lot of you, you probably have immigrant parents. And they grew up very poor in a village, and they were like, you know, we could only eat one egg per year, and we ate meat once a year. So they had a very poor upbringing. But they came to America to study for graduate school. And so me and my brother, we were born in North Carolina, and my brother was 3 years older than me. And when we were super tiny, we moved to California. You have a question, Joseph?
Why don't you have glasses?
I did not have glasses when I was a baby. Yeah.
How about when you was 10?
When I was 10, I started to have glasses, yes.
Okay.
So I grew up in California basically for my whole life, in San Jose, Cupertino area, so like 20 minutes from here. And overall, I was a pretty happy baby. And a big part of my upbringing was going to church. This was very much my community, my favorite place to be. My parents would bring me Friday, Saturday, Sunday for all the activities. And these are where my best friends came from. I grew up with all these aunties and uncles and brothers and sisters around me. And something that my church has that I know you guys have as well was Awana. So I did this all throughout growing up, and me and my friends would always race to memorize verses, to get shares, to buy things at the store later. And at the time, I didn't really understand why. You know, you kind of just do it because your parents are telling you to do it. But even though I was super young and didn't understand it all, now the verses that I memorized are really precious to me, because Awana really teaches you a lot throughout the years, and it really taught me to go through the whole Bible and know the basics of who God is, what does God being love mean, just all these basic underlying principles. So this is the first time where I felt God really work in my life, though, and it was when I was 6 years old. I really wanted a baby sister, and I would draw these pictures with my brother and me in my mom's stomach, and I would say, Lillian came out first, so she's the older one, because I just really wanted a little sibling to take care of. And at that time, my mom was in her early 40s, so it's like 42. And for those of you who don't know, it's not advisable to have a baby when you're super late, because there are chances that the baby might not come out, I guess, normal. There might be some birth defects. And my mom was like, I don't want any more kids. So I prayed for 3 years. For 3 years, I just kept praying for a baby sister. And when I was 9, my mom was pregnant with a baby, and it was a surprise by God. But it turned out that she was a girl, and that she was perfectly healthy. And this was my baby sister, Joanna. And to this day, Joanna is very much a gift from God, because I know I prayed for those long years. And while she was little, just at your guys' age in elementary school, she was super cute. But then when she got into middle school a few years back, we started fighting a lot, so it wasn't as cute anymore. But she is always a gift from God, and she comes into my story later on. Now, there is a rebellious phase that happens for a lot of kids, and it's around 10 years old for me, and it lasted for a pretty long time. And a lot of it had to do with my parents. So I want to give you guys a guess. What do you think I was fighting about with my parents almost every single day? Any guesses? You can raise your hand. Yeah.
I guess the first
first thing?
Who gets the first thing?
Yeah.
Yeah? What else?
You got a B.
I got a B, yes, very true. What else?
Me? Your sister.
My sister, yes. Me and my siblings fighting all the time. Yeah, what else? I did not get an F, but my B's were like equivalent to an F to my parents. Yeah, what else?
My phrase is called, you want a MacBook Air.
Yes, yes, you are very right. Okay, so these are the classic phrases. Yeah, one more.
Politics,
not quite. That is later down the line. But yes. So these are my classic phrases that my parents will not let me forget that I said all the time. I want to quit piano. I did not want to do any more music. I want to quit Chinese school. I was really against being Chinese and having to learn the second language, and this was something we would fight every single Saturday when I went to Chinese school. I couldn't get straight A's. I got a B in PE, and my mom got really mad at me. And I was just like, I just can't run fast, you know? Like, that's just it.
Exactly.
I wanted a MacBook Air. So I really wanted a MacBook Air because all of my friends had their own laptops, and I was like, you know what? I just like want my own laptop to watch YouTube or whatever. I kept saying my parents favorite my brother and sister way more. Because my brother was slated to be like this math genius, and my sister was super cute, and I was just average. So they got more privileges than me. And then I said, I don't want to go to Awana or go to church anymore. I had a phase of like 6 months where I was like, Awana is just trying to indoctrinate kids and motivate them by giving them money, you know, to memorize verses. And I was just super negative towards it, and I wanted to quit completely. And then I don't want to be Asian. And I would tell my mom, I want to be C-Jin, as in like the letter C, because Asians have to get A's, and I want to just be average. I want to just get C's, and for you to be okay with that. So my parents don't let me forget that line, ever. But then, when I complained about these things, right, and I was just mad, and I didn't know what to do with my life, my parents would say, you should be grateful. We grew up eating one egg per year. You know, and they would say, we grew up so differently than you. You have everything we ever wanted. You have a roof over your head. You have education. You don't have to worry about not having enough clothes or shoes. But I didn't understand, you know, because I can't ever fully understand how my parents felt. And when they said that, it just made me feel really bad, right? So my response was, what's the point of life, right? What am I working so hard in middle school for? School was so difficult. Friends were not easy. Church was not easy. What was I doing with my life? And I would distract myself. So I was obsessed with a lot of fictional things. So whether books, whether movies, whether video games. So these are my favorite things back in the day. Especially Harry Potter and Pokemon.
Animal Crossing.
Yeah. And I would tell myself, I was like, what is the point of this real world? I want to be a Pokemon trainer and like go on an adventure and just live in this fake world because the real life is so difficult. Right? So every day after school, I literally do nothing except like play video games or read, you know, or watch TV. And it's totally fine, you know, to do some of that within a limited period of time. But it made me think that the real life, the real world was not worth living. But the real problems at the end of the day was, one, I wanted to be loved, and two, I didn't have a purpose, right? So I just felt so, I don't know, discontent with life. And I didn't know what I was living for, but also when it came to my parents, I felt like they would only be proud of me if I was super successful. If I did everything they wanted, if I got straight A's, if I did well in school, then they would be happy, then I would be happy, right? So my happiness was dependent on them. So things changed at my first youth retreat. Has anyone been to like a retreat before? Probably most of you have, right? Yeah, here and there? Yeah, so this one was just for youth, though. So just middle schoolers and high schoolers, and I was so excited to go because it was a weekend away from my parents. My parents always said no to everything I wanted to do. They didn't let me do anything, and I was super excited to just be there all by myself. So me and my brother were there with all my friends. We were having a blast, and then there were some surprise guests, and it was my parents. They decided that they missed me and my brother so much over this weekend that they drove up an hour and a half to come see us, and I was so mad because I was like, you guys are the only parents in this entire retreat, right? And I was so embarrassed, and they tried to like sit next to me at dinner, and I was like, no, like, go sit by yourself, you know? So I didn't talk to them, and that night, it was my very first like praise and prayer night, so I was sitting there, and I was praying to God, and I was just saying, God, life right now is really hard, right? I don't know what to do. I don't know why it's so difficult to love my parents, even though I know that my life in many ways is so much better than their life when they grew up in China. But why do I feel so unhappy and so angry towards them? Like, I was like, God, just make them go away. And then I felt two people come up to me, and it was my parents, right? And they put their arms around me, and I didn't ask them to come, right? And they just started praying for me. And before I knew it, I started crying, but I didn't want them to see me cry, so I was trying to turn away, but they were on like either side of me. But they were just praying for me in Chinese, and all of a sudden I felt my heart break down, you know, because I was so mad at them for coming. I had said so many mean things to them throughout my life. Yet here they were. They came to find me. They came to pray for me, even though they knew that I was a super moody and angry teenager all the time, right? And that's when I realized the way I saw God, he was very limited by the way I saw my parents. And my parents love me so much, but also they're not perfect and I'm not perfect, right? So when I used to think to myself, my parents don't love me because they're not buying me a MacBook Air, then I would think, there's no way God can love me then, right? If God doesn't love me to give me perfect loving parents, then he's not really God. But God really showed me in this moment, Lillian, you've been a very sinful, mean teenage girl to the people who love you the most in this world, right? And God was saying, but Lillian, I still love you and I forgive you. So from this moment on, I just ended up a crying mess the rest of the night, you know, and I realized how cruel and mean I'd been to my parents, yet they still loved me, and this was a God that loved me too. And I'm very glad the photographer took a photo of this moment, because this is the moment that changed everything for me. Because I was looking for love and purpose my whole life, and I realized, first of all, love does come from my parents, but true love is found in God, right? And my purpose, I didn't need to get straight A's to impress God, right? God is never going to be impressed by the things I do. But all I had to do was love God, and the purpose that God had given me is to love others. So even just from this one event, everything began to change. And the biggest thing was I began to take church so seriously, because it had transformed me from someone who first thought that the world hated me, that God was out to get me, put me in all these difficult situations. But I began to see the world through God's eyes, and I began to help in church a lot, right? So I was super serious about church. I would help to plan retreats. I would help to lead in worship, right, and just participate in any way I could. But also, this did not magically make my school life any easier. I was still always studying all the time, but I got a little bit better with my academics and studying. But the hardest part about school was I had both my Christian friends and my non-Christian friends, right? So you guys probably have a mix of friends at school. And I love being with my church Christian friends, but being with my non-Christian friends, it was a lot harder. Because sometimes they would say mean things, sometimes they would want to do things that I know my parents would never want me to do, right? And there's a lot of difficulties in navigating school life. But I did things like student council, and that was something that God gave me, right? I was looking for purpose, because everybody had their thing, okay? My brother was a nerdy math kid. He was very, very smart at math. My sister was very cute at the time. But for me, I was like, I'm just average. I don't have anything I'm passionate about. I'm not good at any sports, not good at piano. But for some reason, God put it on my heart, and he said, Lillian, go try out for student council. So I said, okay, and I did not get elected my first time around, and I was really sad. But I tried again, and once I got into leadership, I realized I really love working with people, right? I love planning events. I love doing things for my school. But more importantly, I loved being able to serve like Jesus, right, in a servant leadership kind of fashion. And I realized God called me to love my friends through, you know, serving in these leadership positions. But at the same time, it wasn't super easy. But there was something more missing, I realized, in leadership. Because when you do things at school, right, people will say, oh, just volunteer because it helps society, right? I was like, who has that much goodness in their heart to volunteer? I realized for me, the greatest desire to volunteer came out of a desire to be like Jesus, because God had shown me love and I wanted to show it to others. So I decided to go on different mission trips with my church. So every summer, my church, we go to the Navajo Indian Reservation in Arizona, and we would put on a week-long VBS for them. And they went year after year. And I realized in this place, these kids are kind of like the way my parents grew up, right? They're not living in nice, fancy homes like us. Although they do have, you know, running water, basic things that they need, but they don't have anywhere near the opportunities or comforts that we get. And for them, there's a lot of darkness in their land. There's a lot of witchcraft. There's a lot of spirits. They have scary things called skinwalkers. And with our Chinese church coming year after year, that was a way to put the gospel in them and to teach them through it. Yeah, question?
What's a skinwalker?
A skinwalker is a very scary, like, Native American myth. And so kind of think about, like, spirits or demons that come out at night. So as fake as it can seem to us, I truly believe that these things are really real, especially in areas that aren't super urban. That's basically where, like, demons and spirits thrive. Anyways, side story. But it was through this that I realized, wow, I love being able to serve God while being super passionate and true to the gospel, right? That's where true source, true hope of life is. And then another church trip I did was we went to Columbia, and this was organized with me and my four college friends, or not college, high school friends. And basically, this trip was even scarier. We weren't putting on a VBS, but we were going to door-to-door and knocking and telling people about the gospel. And so there are two issues. One, I couldn't speak Spanish. So I had to use a translator the entire time, and it was really difficult, right? Because I didn't know if they were properly conveying what I wanted to say, but also it really limited what I was able to say. Secondly, the only reason people really wanted to talk to me is because I was like the only Chinese person they've ever seen in their life. So we got a lot of attention, the four of us, because the rest of our team was like Americans from Texas, a Texan church, and we got a lot of attention as we just walked everywhere. And it was cool, but also I felt that no one really wanted to actually hear the gospel. So I was feeling really discouraged, and I was just praying to God, and I asked God, why did you bring me here? We went through so much effort to be here, raised so much money, yet I feel like I'm not doing anything at all, right, except just being the only Chinese person they ever saw. And on my very last day of the mission trip, we were also in a Colombian city called San Jose, and I just shared the gospel with this man, literally the last guy I ran into. And I just told him the truth, and the translator told me back, you know, this man has lost all hope. His family's gone. Very tragic situation, and I got to give him a Bible. And all of a sudden, he started jumping up and down, you know, and he was so excited. He was like, come take a picture with me. And I think that was honestly just the only deepest interaction I had with someone on the trip. And I do hope, yeah, that gospel has touched this person's heart, but I think it was also God telling me, Lillian, like, in your difficulties, even when you're on the mission field, right, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to guide you. And I saw how even just hearing the word, right, brought this man so much joy. And that was the one thing I needed just to end up the mission trip without being super discouraged or hopeless, right? But God telling me he's still with me. So my church life in high school was one thing. My school life in high school was another thing. But ultimately, I realized how even for a lot of you and middle schoolers and high schoolers, there was so much pressure by my parents to do well, right? To get into a good college, right? That seems to be the end result for a lot of Asian immigrant kids. So I worked hard at both, right? I worked really, really hard. And what came next was college. So, as Summer said earlier, my mom is a nurse, and my dad is, he's a businessman. He sells houses. So I thought to myself, you know what? I used to want to be a doctor. I'm not smart enough to be a doctor. I'm going to put that to the side. But I think I want to become a nurse as well as do business because I really like leadership, right? So, through God's grace, I got to go to the college I wanted to, which is in Pennsylvania. And I studied nursing and business. And I had this dream mapped out for myself. I told myself, I'm going to one day become a nurse, then I'm going to become a hospital CEO, and I'm going to be a really great leader, I'm going to be a Christian leader and lead other people to God, right? And through that way, I can be both successful and I can be a Christian as well, right? And I think it was a really genuine dream. I really wanted to do that. I love being able to help people. But there's a point where I began to see how empty these dreams were because I was doing it for myself, right? And there were times I was in the hospital and I would be around really sick and dying people, right? And when you're with them, what can you say? You can only say, it's going to be okay. But I felt like such a liar because I knew if they didn't have the gospel, healing them physically was not going to lead them to eternal life, right? Because we're all going to get sick. We're all going to die one day. And I realized I can't tell you it's okay because it's not going to be okay unless you have the gospel. So that's why I couldn't keep up, right, with trying to pretend that, oh, by being a nurse, I can help people. Because to help people, you have to lead them to the source of true life. So that was one thing. I realized to myself, this isn't what I want to do. But then I thought about my parents, right? And I realized, this is what my parents want me to do, though, right? They gave up their whole life. They worked so hard. They're paying for my college education so that I can learn these things so that I can make a good life for myself, right? So I thought to myself, though, what is that good life, right? So I graduate. I graduate from college. Then I make a lot of money, right? And then I can buy whatever I want. Then I buy a house, then I get married, then I have a kid, and I make the kid do the same thing over and over again, right? And I just saw this perpetual cycle, and I realized, ultimately, this is what my parents want for me. My parents all the time, my mom is like, when I see my first grandchild, then I can die happy, you know? And I was like, I don't know when that's going to happen, you know? But I don't want your happiness to be based on what I do. So I just began to really struggle because I realized this is the cycle that I think a lot of people in America, you know, go through. Our parents may have done the first step, you know, in bringing us here. But as their children, what are we expected to do? And I realized, I don't want to think about buying a house. I don't want to think about getting married. I don't want to think about having my kids and making them do the same thing over and over again. Isn't there anything else, right, in my life that's worth living for? So once again, church was most important to me because the people around me, they maybe felt the same way as me, but they also really chased after the things as well. So things that people will chase after when they're older, it might be money, right? Because you think that money can bring you everything you need. It might be success. People would work at really great companies, like here. My friend would get a job at Google, and then he'd be, you know what? I want to switch to Facebook. And I was like, whoa, like, you have a dream job that many people would want to have, but it's never enough, right? So I realized with church, what I could do was I could point people to what mattered and what was a true source of eternal life, right? Not just temporary happiness, temporary success, but what mattered the most. So I would help in college. We would help plan trips. We'd go on retreats to the wilderness and, like, go kayaking together. I would help lead worship. I taught the kids at Sunday school, right? And I realized that this is ultimately what mattered the most, right? We're called to be good students, right, in middle school, high school, even in college, but we're also called to put God first. And there was a semester that was particularly difficult. I was not debating dropping out of college, but I was thinking about switching my major. I was like, I need to do something different. Maybe I want to become an influencer or something. You know, I just wanted something different from the traditional path. But I knew my parents would absolutely get so mad at me. So instead, I put my efforts to randomly starting to learn Japanese, right? Does anyone here know any Japanese at all? No? A little bit? Yeah. And the reason I started to learn Japanese was because it was kind of similar to Chinese, right? And I really liked learning Chinese in college because I liked the Hanzi. So Japanese is kanji as well. So I would meet up with these exchange partners, right? They were Japanese exchange students who came to my school to study English. And I would host these meetups. And we would just eat. We would speak in Chinese, Japanese, and English, right? And through that way, I was able to learn a lot of the language. And everyone thought I was crazy. They were like, Lillian, you should be applying to jobs. Stop studying Japanese. And I was just like, you know what? I think God will provide for a job. Learning Japanese is so fun for me. And I just did everything with these friends. There was nothing really special about it. But when it came time for them to leave, right, and I was super sad, I was crying because they were leaving, one of them shared with me and she said, Lillian, I think I want to become a Christian. And I was like, you literally came to church with me like 2 times. Like, where did this come from, right? And she just shared with me, she said, Lillian, like, I saw your life. I came with you to your church, to your community. And this is something that Japanese people don't know of, but I realized that this is so important to me. So I just said, okay, like, let's pray now, you know? And it was in that moment I realized for so much of my life, I was searching for a purpose, for a mission, and I thought I would find it in nursing. I thought I would find it in business. I told myself, maybe if I could be a Pokemon trainer, then I'd have the ultimate mission, you know, I could go with my friends. But it was in this moment that I was so touched, and God was just telling me, like, Lillian, like, this is the ultimate mission, right? This is what I created you for. This is where you'll find the most purpose and delight. And I was like, wow, God, you are so amazing. But then COVID happened, and I completely forgot about the situation because I was so upset that I was stuck at home, right? So I knew that God had put Japanese missions on my heart, but I really tried to push it down as much as I could. So I want to ask you guys, what do you guys know about Japan? What do you know?
Anime.
Okay, yeah.
There are lots of earthquakes and volcanoes and
there's a lot of earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. Yeah, what else?
Kawaii stuff.
What?
Kawaii stuff.
Kawaii stuff, yeah. What else? What?
Sushi.
Oh, sushi, yeah, sushi, yeah, what else?
Ramen,
yep.
Bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Bombing of Pearl Harbor, yes. What else? World War II, yes, World War II, yeah, what else?
Everyone's old because no one's having children.
Yes, they have an aging population crisis. Okay, yeah, any more?
Prime Minister assassinated.
Yes, Prime Minister assassinated, yeah.
USA bomb
about
the atomic bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yep, the atomic bomb, yeah. That's
anime.
Anime, yes. Okay, well, we'll stop there, okay? Okay, one more.
J-pop,
yes. Okay, so there's a lot. Japan is actually in the media a lot right now, okay? But this is what I learned. Contrary, and it surprised me because from what you guys say, Japan seems like a super powerful nation, seems like there's so much great media, you know, that even us as Americans, we get to enjoy. But actually with Japan, they are the second largest unreached people group. So when you think of non-Christians, you probably think of like Muslims, right? People, places where it's so illegal to be Christian. But actually Japan is on the top of the list, right at number 2.
There are only 1% of Japan.
Yes, less than 1% of Japan is Christian. And it's not because people have heard it and they reject it.
No, I think
it's because
some dictator God.
I'll explain it shortly. It's because, right, they just never had the chance to hear it, right? In Japan, people are spiritual. They'll go to shrines to bow and pray at New Year's, but they're not actually religious. They don't actually believe in anything. And the most shocking part of all is that Japan has the highest rate of mental illness, depression, and suicide. And these are very serious words, okay? But I really saw Japan as a place similar to the Bay Area, right? Where our parents, you know, worked so hard to give us this wonderful life, or we should have everything we need to be happy. right? But then I would wonder at my high school, why are so many people here so stressed out, so anxious, always needing to get help, right? And it goes to show that having everything you need, having great food, having great entertainment, it's not enough to bring you fulfillment and long-lasting joy, right? So when I learned this about Japan, I realized this is not the country I thought it was, right? It is actually a place of a lot of darkness, and it needs a lot of help. And actually, so I'll talk briefly about the prime minister. So the reason the prime minister was assassinated in Japan, the previous one, was because he was related to a church cult. Okay, so this is not a Christian church. This is a church that basically has transformed the gospel into something that it was not. And this man, his mom had donated all of his money to this cult, right? And the prime minister also supported this cult as well. So this man was so mad at the prime minister, and he shot and killed him. And the unfortunate part of this is, even though that cult was not Christian, now many people in Japan will say, I want nothing to do with religion at all, right? Because it led to our prime minister being killed. It led to this man going crazy. And the man who killed the prime minister. And it actually has made it very difficult for Christians now in Japan. Okay, so that's why this event was particularly bad for the church. But also, again, it highlighted the dangers of false religion and cults. But, so last year I had to make a decision, right? I told myself, I can't go to Japan and do missions. I have to use my degree. I have to be a nurse. I have to be a business person.
How about you
hold
go
on.
To Taiwan?
Hold on. So I had to choose some things, okay? First, I had to choose to follow my path, right? And my path is not a bad path. I could stay in California. I could work as a nurse or in business. And this was a straightforward, comfortable path, right? This was a path that my parents had given up so much for me to do. And especially I thought about how much money they paid for me throughout school, throughout college. Or I had to follow God's path, which was to leave behind the U.S. It was to go to Japan. And basically, it was to throw away everything I had worked for, right? In college, I felt like I had put so much effort into this. I had sacrificed so much, right? But I already looked at it. I knew which would make me happier, right? It wasn't going to be staying and just being a nurse, but it was going to be going. Because I knew, right, during my mission trips, I knew this is what God has called me to be. This is the ultimate mission of my lifetime, and I want to be there. But the biggest factor is my parents. So, raise your hand. What do you think I was worried about my parents saying, or what do you think they would have said? Yeah.
You're a failure.
What else?
No.
Any other thoughts? What do you think my parents said?
No.
Yeah.
You're a Phasian.
I'm a what?
Phasian?
Oh, I'm a Phasian. Yes. I'm an Asian. Good stuff. Or a fake Asian, yeah. What else?
Phasian.
No,
right? So I was really worried about my parents, right? Because I didn't hate them in any way, right? I loved them. And that's why I also wanted to make sure I was doing something good for our family, right? So I would think to myself, I'm scared of what they will say, right? I am dishonoring them. I was very scared my parents were literally going to disown me, okay? They paid so much for my education, right? They moved to America for a better life for me, right? And I really thought, the worst thing you could ever tell, especially your Asian parent, is, I want to be a pastor or I want to be a missionary, right? Because I think most parents have dreams of their kids becoming lawyers, engineers, doctors, and that's all good things, right? These are all great jobs, great careers, but I knew what was going to happen when I told them, I want to do a job where you basically make no money for your entire life. But then I would think, what is that better life my parents want for me, right? Is it this life of comfort that goes in cycles and cycles where they did everything they need, they gave me everything I needed, and then I give my kid everything they needed? But then I would think to myself, even though I had everything I needed in middle school, I was still so unhappy. Why is that, right? And it's because you can grow up in such a poor environment and you can meet Jesus and your life can be changed, but you can also grow up with everything you ever need, but you still need Jesus because it's not enough. So I realized, maybe the better life they want for me is not the better life that God wants for me. And I realized, this is a very important principle, because the biggest thing I felt was guilt. I felt so bad. I'm throwing away all their money, all their efforts they poured into me. And I realized that my parents came to America to give me choices. Like Jesus sacrificed himself to set me free, my parents sacrificed to give me choices so that I could take a better path, so that I didn't have to work as hard as them, and I could do something like missions and give my life to God. Because that's something my parents never had the opportunity to do. So I had this mindset. And then, there's this verse too I want to share. And it goes, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And I knew my parents would say, why don't you go work for 20 years? And then you can go be a missionary when you have enough money, right? But I think I need for myself. I don't want to wait, right? That field, it's ready for me to buy it now. If I go now, I can have 20 more years of joy in service than if I left 20 years from now, right? So I decided I have to buy the field today. So here becomes the scary part, that call my parents, right? And there's a thing with, I think especially high schoolers and college students with parents, and it's that it's reverse psychology. So my mom was calling me and she was saying, Lillian, come home to California after, you know, you graduate from college, you can work as a nurse, you can make a lot of money here because in California nurses get paid more. And I told my mom, Mom, you know, I really like my life in Philadelphia. You know, I think I might want to stay here for a few years. And suddenly she got scared. She was like, if you don't come back now, you'll never be able to come back later. It's so expensive here. How can you make enough money there? So I got really mad and I said, well, Mom, I'm also thinking I want to go to Taiwan for a year to like study abroad or to teach English. You know, so when she told me to come home, I told her that I'm going farther. And then she's like, what? You want to go to Taiwan? I had a friend who died in Taiwan before. And I was like, what the heck, right? I got so mad. And then I told my mom, I just couldn't help it, right? I said, Mom, I think I want to be a missionary in Japan for a long time. And she just said, okay. And she like hung up the phone. And basically, we both got pretty riled up at each other, right? But I just cried after that, and I asked God, God, why are you making my life so hard, right? If you wanted me to go, why couldn't you just have given me parents who just said, okay, go follow God's plan for your life. You know, you'll have eternal riches in heaven. Why did my parents have to have so much opposition to this? And I realized for myself, I don't know what to do, but I think I have to go. And there's a story that really inspired me, and it's this man, Hudson Taylor. Have you guys ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So he was a British doctor, right? And when he was 21, he felt a call to go to China. And he's the first missionary that ever went to China. So when he went to China, he dressed exactly like a Chinese man. He had that like one ponytail, wore the hat, wore the clothes. Everyone thought he was like crazy, like cuckoo, right? But he was so faithful there. And he came back a few years later, and he prayed for 24 on Brighton Beach. It's somewhere in Britain. And the reason he prayed for 24 workers was there were 11 provinces of China at that time, and then plus Mongolia, so 12 places, and he prayed for 2 workers per province to send, right? And all he did was he created the China Inland Mission, he made a bank account, and he put £10, that is $12, and all the promises of God. That was all that he invested. He gave everything he had to this mission. And before you know it, people started to respond. More and more missionaries left. And at some point, missionaries from North America started to leave too, and it turned into an international movement. But in the 1900s, there was a Boxer Rebellion, where 58 missionaries and 21 children were killed from the China Inland Mission, right? So the CIM was at a loss of what to do. And then in 1905, Hudson Taylor died. Now, when he died, his goal was to visit every single province in China, right? He wanted to go to all the churches that the missionaries were planting. He wanted to be with them. And on the very last day of his life, he made it into the last province. And then he passed. And then in 1950, they were under pressure, under religious pressure from the government, so the CIM retreated from China. So what did they do next, right? You can't go into China, a lot of people there. They decided instead, I'm going to put this here. So actually, this is a graph that shows how much Christianity has grown in China. And actually, Hudson Taylor was the first to go. But today, there are over 22 million estimated Christians in China. It grows at a growth rate of 10% per year. And by 2030, people estimate that there will be more Christians in China than in the U.S., right? And actually, right now, I think in the past, a lot of missionaries were sent to China. Now, China is sending out their own people. China is basically growing on their own Christianity. They're self-sustaining themselves. So it is an amazing miracle, the way that Christianity has blown up in China, right? But Christians are also being kicked out. We basically can't send any missionaries over. I have a friend who wants to be a missionary in some rural place in China, and she can't get in, right? So it's really difficult. So we have to really pray that China can continue to grow on their own. But after CIM was kicked out of China, they began the Overseas Missionary Fellowship. They changed their name from China to Overseas in general. And they went everywhere. So today, OMF is in all of these countries, right? And the miracle is there are even some countries that are considered closed now. Does anyone know a country where there's a lot of Christians in East Asia? Yeah.
South Korea.
Yep, South Korea. So South Korea is now a closed country. We don't send missionaries there anymore. Actually, South Korea sends their own missionaries out from that area, right? So South Korea is a miracle in itself. Yeah, so this is OMF. And there's a quote by Hudson Taylor that I really love, and it's, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. So when I heard this quote, I realized, okay, I'm doing God's work, I'm doing it in His way. So I might not have my parents' supply, right? I might not have their support. But if God has given me this calling, I have to go. So, back to my family. So after my mom and I, we got off that angry phone call, I didn't talk to her for about 2 months, just because we needed to cool down, and I just prayed about it. And I said, God, if my parents will let me go, I will go, right? And if not, I will learn what it means to be obedient and faithful to them. So I came home for winter break, and three things happened, okay? I was just chilling, doing my own thing. We were at a dinner party. And all of a sudden, my mom introduced me, and she said, this is my daughter, Lillian, and after she graduates, she wants to be a missionary in Japan. And my jaw just dropped. I was like, where did this come from? I haven't even talked to you about this for the last 2 months, right? And then secondly, we were just at the dinner table and my mom asked, so if you go to Japan, how often will you come back? And I said, not very often because missionaries are poor. And she said, I'll buy a plane ticket back for you. And then the third one was, before I went back to college, my mom just gave me some money. And she said, Lillian, this is so you know, you never have to do anything stupid to try and get money. Mom will always support you. And I had really told myself, right, after hearing Hudson Taylor's story, I told myself, even if my mom says no, even if my parents say no, I still have to go. I have to follow God, right? Because before I'm my parents' children, I'm first God's children, God's child. And I told God, even if I don't have my mom's emotional support or her financial support, I still have to go. But through my prayers, God gave me both my mom's emotional and financial support. And I know my mom, for the 20 years I've been alive, 22 years I've been alive, she does not change much, right? So that's when I knew. It was God changing her heart to let me go. And for missionaries, for people who want to be pastors, right, maybe it's hard to say yes to God yourself, but I think it's even hard for your parents to let you go as their kid, right? And I have full faith that God is going to reward my parents for letting me go, because it's hard, right, to send your kids somewhere far away, to know that they're not going to be living the best life. Right? Because as a parent, all you want is for your kid to be happy, healthy, warm, you know, well-educated, to be able to buy the things they need, but that's not the life that God calls all of us to do. So that's when my mom came around. My dad is more passive, so I wasn't really worried about him in the first place. But even my brother, right? My brother knew that I wanted to go, and he was the one who helped to support me for my seminary classes. You know, he helped pay for part of it, and I was very touched. But lastly, I have my sister, and like I said, me and my sister, we fight a lot over really silly things, just because we're both, I don't know, at an age where we bicker. And a few weeks ago, I had a big argument with my parents, and I said, and it was about missions, it was about college, it was about being like a family disappointment, and I ended up like crying and being really sad and telling God, why are we still fighting? And my sister heard this, right? And for my birthday, this is what I found on my desk. And she basically told my mom, she said, Mom, I know you guys don't want Lillian to go, so give me all my money because I want to give it to her so she can go to Japan. And I realized that, you and my sister, she gave me all the money in her bank account. I don't know where she got all this money from, right? But it was like all of her hongbao, all of her birthday gifts, it was everything she had. And she gave it to me, and I gave it back to her, of course, because I can't make it on my own, but I was so touched, right? And I saw that even though I was fighting with her so much throughout the past 2 years, right, she gave me everything she had. And I was just so touched. And I realized that in me going to missions, it's really healed my family, right? I realized that I feel most loved by my parents when they love God and God's calling for me. And I felt most loved by my siblings when they gave me everything so that I could go, right? So that is my sister. And I'm not a parent, right? But I saw my sister grow up. And I was just thinking about the story yesterday, and I thought, I love her so much. I delight in her, right? I saw my sister when she was as small as you guys, and she was super cute. And now she's at the middle school phase, and she's a bit more not as cute. But I realized, like God delights in me, I delight in her, right? She has grown up so beautifully. She's brought so much joy to my life. Yeah, do you have a question?
Did you go to Japan yet?
I'll get to that. So this happened like 2 weeks ago, right? Super, super recently. But it really touched me. And it reminded me of this once again. God's work and God's way will never lack God's supply. And even to this moment, I have not left yet, but God's supply has never been insufficient for me. It has always been enough. Thank you. So this is where I'm going. So a few weeks or 2 months ago, I was accepted as a part of OMF. So now I'm on their OMF team. And I'm currently in Bible college. So every day I'm studying the Bible. I'm reading a lot of books. I'm learning how to teach the gospel to other people. But I'm actually leaving to Taiwan this Friday for 1 year. And this is part of my plan for Taiwan, like I was mentioning earlier. And Taiwan is actually also deeply in need of the gospel. They are 3.9% Christian, and there's a lot of people are Buddhist there. But I'm going to be teaching English as well as serving in a church and doing my seminary classes. And this was my plan all along, right? I originally intended to tell my mom, you know what, I'm going to go to Taiwan for a year, then I'm going to go to Taiwan, and then I'll tell my mom, hey, Mom, I really like it here. I want to go to Japan for the rest of my life. You know, it's kind of like you just push your boundaries more and more. But I just told her the whole story, you know, from the beginning, and God blessed me with this opportunity to go to Taiwan for a year. And then I'm going to come back for 1 year, right, do work as a nurse, make my parents happy, and then do some fundraising, and then I'm going to be going to Japan for a really long time. And Japan is 1% Christian, and you go for 4 years at a time, and then you come home, and then you go for another 4 years. But I want to go as long as God keeps the door open for me. And I just wanted to also leave you guys with some things about what you can do right now, because I think you guys are all at different ages of life, but these are very basic principles that I think you guys all know about, but I just want to remind you. And the first is to learn, right? In church, you have so many opportunities to learn, whether it's through Awana, whether it's through Sunday school, right? Whether it's through your youth pastor. And to make a decision for yourself, especially if you're at that middle school and high school age, to determine, is what you're believing true to your life, right? Because if it is, it changes everything about the way you live and the way you interact with each other. The second is just to go and serve to whatever doors open up. That first youth retreat, I was like, I don't want to go. I'm in a mood. I didn't do well on my math test. And my friend was like, no, Lilia, you have to go, you have to go. And she dragged me to youth retreat, and I was in a mood that whole weekend, but that's where I met God for the first time, right? So whatever opportunities come up to you, say yes, you know, and it could be even just serving a church. Maybe it could be going on a mission trip far away, right? But let God actually move by saying yes to him. And the third is to invite others and share the gospel. And when I was in high school, my senior year, on the last week of school, I realized I'm never going to see my high school friends again. I have to tell them about the gospel. So I sat with each one of them, right, and told them the gospel. I told four friends, and only one was willing to come with me to church. And that friend was baptized this Easter. And I saw how Jesus had changed his life completely, right? And I thought people were going to say, Lillian, I know you love church, but it's not for me. But this one friend in that season of life was going through his hardest battle, and he said, Lillian, I want to learn about your God. So I want to challenge you guys, right? The Bay Area is actually one of the least churched areas in the U.S., so other places all have a higher percentage of churches than in the Bay Area. And people here, I would say, don't need the gospel because they are so deceived by money and comfort and success, right? And we have wonderful weather here, right? What more could you need to be happy? But actually, all people have a deep need for the gospel. And then third, pray and support those on mission and know you are on mission as well, right? You might not be seeing miracles happen right in the middle of nowhere in some random village, but I think the greatest miracles I've seen here are my own life, my sister's life, even like giving me so much of everything she had, in my mom. And when you see God change people's lives, you realize that he's the same God wherever you are. Whether you're across the world in Japan, in Taiwan, or even here, right? He's moving even now. So in conclusion, like I said, I had a very ordinary life, even like many of you, and I really didn't know what God had planned for me. But I realized just by saying yes, right? He brought so much joy. He brought so much purpose to my life. And I want to encourage you guys, take this gospel seriously, right? It's a gift that God has given you. Not many kids get to go to VBS. Not many kids get to grow up in such a wonderful church community. And use that to share your light with other people. And then I have, if you want to join my mailing list or my blog, I've put more fun stories up there. You can take a screenshot or whatever. But yeah, that's my story. And thank you all for listening.
So we still have time, have some Q&A. But before that Q&A, when I am listening her message, I think the verse, you know, just immediately just appeared in my mind. And just in Matthew chapter 10, if your Bible, you know, here it says that anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. 38, and anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake will find it. So I think through her lady's sharing, I think her How do you not deny yourself? Deny yourself is very important. and follow the cross. So through her story, I just immediately, you know, the stood out to me is deny yourself, follow the cross, follow Jesus. I don't know through her message whether do you have any the words or through Bible or you have questions and you can reflect. And besides, or you have some question you can ask too. So now we open the time for the you ask the questions and Q&A.
Okay,
thank
you.
Oh, and I'm really encouraged by your story. At such a young age, you are willing to follow God and deny everything this world promises to give you. I'm really, you know, touched by the obedience that you have for Jesus.
Thank you.
How about other kids? You have? Okay. Okay, here.
Yeah, I was wondering how far along you are in your study, and also why you want to go to Taiwan last year before.
Yeah, yeah. So that's also another miracle in itself. So I'll kind of explain a bit. So for my mission organization, OMA, they're super strict. They're like, if you want to be a long-term missionary, you need to have good training because you can't just go, you know, share the gospel incorrectly with people. So that's why I'm currently in seminary. So it's about a year and a half program, and I just finished my first quarter this summer. So the reason I'm going to Taiwan is because in college, I got a scholarship. And basically the scholarship said, we'll give you this money, but you have to work for 2 years as a nurse, right, to help kind of just, like, show your dedication to the community. So I said, okay, I'm going to work as a nurse anyways. But the opportunity to come to Taiwan appeared, and I never got to go abroad during college because of COVID. And I was like, what if I went to Taiwan for a year, and then I did my 2 years as a nurse, and then I went to Japan? And I really prayed about it. But then I said, if it's going to delay me going to Japan, I don't want to go. So I talked to the people in charge of my scholarship, and they said, actually, because you going to Taiwan is part of a government program, we'll let it count as one of the 2 years of your nursing, you know, requirement. So I felt, okay, I think God is really opening that door. And so another reason I want to go to Taiwan is because I am Chinese, and I can't go to China right now. We don't have it in China. But it's because I want to be able to connect more with my culture before I learn Japanese for the rest of my life. So I want to be able to, learning Mandarin is something that I think God really blessed me with in college, and I realized how important it is to my family. So because I have to spend these 2 years anyways, either working as a nurse and doing my online seminary classes, Taiwan kind of just fit right in. But the way I see it now is Taiwan is basically my trial run as a missionary because I don't need to worry about money, right, because it's fully funded. But I just go there. I'm going to help get involved in a church, do my classes, and teach at the same time, and just get adjusted to living abroad on my own. So that's the Taiwan story.
Thank you. Others, do you have any other questions?
I'm just serious. What's the question?
Okay, so I invite Pastor Eugene, could you please come and to pray at the end? Or you have something on?
Come here.
Come here.
Now or later?
Now.
One more
question.
When did you first
come to Taiwan?
Tell your parents about you being wanting to be a missionary? Like, I guess my question is, how long did it take for your parents to kind of accept that?
Yeah, yeah.
Process. And how was the most challenging? You know,
yeah.
Rather than just saying no, but how your parents to kind of accept that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I said yes to God in October of last year. So October 21, I said yes to God. And I called my mom maybe that month. You know, I told her, I think I want to do this. And then we kind of fought from October to about December. We didn't really fight, you know. I knew it was tense because I knew what she felt. But my parents raised me to be very independent. So I don't know about you guys. Growing up, my parents always just let me do my own thing. So I knew, even though I was telling my mom, I wasn't asking for permission. You know, I said, Mom, I want to be a missionary in Japan, and basically, I'm going to go, right? So I felt bad because if she didn't support me, you know, I knew that God had called me. I have to obey God first. But I think what really helped my mom, first of all, I assured my mom, you don't need to pay for me to go, right? I will raise the support on my own. I'm not going to be relying on you for money for the rest of my life. And I think that's a real concern that parents have. right? They want their kids to be financially independent. But I think also I had to be patient and kind to my parents through this process, which is something that God always taught me. Because as a kid, I realized I'm mad at God when he says no to me. When my parents say no to me, then I just get mad, you know? And I think that's what took my heart, that's what God needed to work in my heart, to be able to be patient and to understand my parents and their perspective. But I did truly believe, like, even if I did believe at that time that they would be angry, like, for the rest of their life and, like, never come around it. Yeah. So then they said yes in December. Then I found OMF in January. And then I just graduated college, and now I'm in seminary. Yeah. So just all within the last year.
Yeah. How long did it take you to decide
how long did it take me to decide I'm going to Japan? I started learning Japanese about 2-3 years ago. 3 years ago. So that's when the seed was first planted, and then now it's happening. Yeah.
Where did you go for your
Mount Hermon. Redwood Alliance. Or the Redwood Camp. So yeah.
Do you have any worries?
Do I have any worries? Yes, I have many worries. I am very scared of mosquitoes and the high humidity, which I think might really affect my ability to like do life. But I think I'm more scared. I already realized this. I'm something I'm giving up. I'm going to have to miss a lot of important things that happen in the U.S., like weddings, like my friends getting together, maybe my parents, you know, through their years. I'm never going to see my sister grow up through high school and college. And it is very much a sacrifice, but I realize, like, God will repay all these things, you know, in the time to come. But that's what I'm most sad about. Yeah.
Okay, so if you have any questions after the end of these prayers, you can ask her in person, okay? So let me ask you to invite the Pastor Eugene to pray for.
Let's bow our hearts to God and we'll pray for a blessing. Emerlyn. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the work of your Holy Spirit, for your love for Lillian and her family, for calling her, or calling all of them, really, to fulfill the Great Commission, to further your kingdom here in Taiwan and Japan and to the ends of the earth. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for showing your sovereignty, for showing your love for Lillian. Thank you for all that you have done to bring her to this point. And we pray a prayer of blessing on her, that you would provide all that she needs for friendship, for studying, for encouragement, for sharing the gospel, for fruit, that you would help her to see that your hand is at work each day of her life, and has always been. And we pray that you would help her to overcome the mosquitoes, the humidity, sometimes discouragement, missing her friends and family back here, that you would see that, you'd help her see that you will provide in so many different ways to bring satisfaction in all the desires of her heart. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So we have a refreshment, you know, the and also the fellowship. And everyone just say thank you and give to the